The reading tonight is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27, page 1151 in the Church Bible. So this is the Apostle Paul writing to the people at the church at Corinth. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Lord God, I just pray that you would bless the reading of your word and that we would learn something of you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul, in these few verses, writes to the church at Corinth, comparing his Christian walk to that of an elite athlete. Paul's obviously a very driven and focused man. We read about him in Acts 7 and 8, before he became a Christian, zealously seeking out Christians to imprison them and even kill them. And when he became a Christian, he used that same determination and focus to preach the gospel to other people. If you like, he was kind of the Mo Farah of the Christian world. Now, or shall I say, Sir Mo Farah, as he's been recently made, has been described as the best long-distance runner that Britain has ever been produced. His record is quite incredible, really. I just got it written down here. He has won 5,000 and 10,000 gold medals in the world championships, twice 10,000 metre world champion, gold and silver in world 5,000 championship, along with various other European titles and records. Now, how did Mo achieve this? Was he lucky? Some people say it's genetic. He's just born with good genes to run. Maybe he was brought up in a country where runners were kind of cherished and people wanted to be good runners. Maybe it was just luck. I've got Mo Farah's training regime here. Okay, and in deference to Sir Mo Farah, as I read it, you can join me if you like. I'm actually going to jog to show some solidarity with Mo as I read it out. Okay, these are all done at different speeds, but it's quite impressive. Hopefully you'll be impressed. So Monday, 10-mile run. That was in the morning. In the afternoon, 6-mile run. Tuesday, 4-mile warm-up. Then an 8 to 12-mile run. A 3-mile cool-down. In the afternoon, strength and conditioning. In the PM, a 6-mile run. Wednesday, 12-mile run and massage. In the afternoon, a 5-mile run. Thursday, an 11-mile run in the morning. In the afternoon, a 6-mile run. Friday, in the morning, a 4-mile jog. After that, some hill sprints. After that, a 4-mile cool-down. Afternoon, strength and conditioning and a 4-mile run. Saturday in the morning, an 11-mile run and a massage. In the afternoon, a 6-mile run. Sunday in the morning, a 22 to 27-mile run. In the afternoon, free time. He could relax. No wonder that man was successful. He had a determination and a focus to achieve something, albeit a gold medal. But the drive and the focus he showed to achieve that aim that he was set out to achieve was incredible. And here we have Paul writing to the Corinthians, comparing his life to that, if you like, of Mo Farah. He wants us to show that same drive and determination in our Christian walk, to be with Jesus, to lead others to Christ, as Mo Farah showed in winning that gold medal. Sad to say, just as I'm not kind of determined to copy Mo Farah's training regime, all too often I fall short. Paul talks about denying myself, running your race to win. It's all too easy just to run that race comfortably or not deny yourself. Mo Farah decided, this is what I'm going to do, and he went and did it. And Paul challenges us to live our Christian life in exactly the same way. So even though I don't always achieve that goal, nonetheless, I have made a decision to run with Jesus. Sometimes I feel like I'm running really well. Other times it's hard. Other times I feel I can barely walk or I can barely stand. But nonetheless, I have made my decision to run with Jesus. And as I move on to talk about how we can maybe run a bit more effectively with Jesus, okay, if you like, we can improve our performance as Mo improved his performance as he trained harder, we must never forget that everything we do is underpinned by God's love for us. It doesn't matter if I go out now and I lead 1,000 people to Christ, Jesus' love for me will not change. Everything we do is underpinned by the fact that I am loved and I am forgiven because of what Jesus has done on the cross for me. Now, parallel to my decision to actually run for Christ, a few years ago, I decided to take up running, actual running. I had my own reasons for this. So I was kind of a bit overweight. I'd always enjoyed physical activity. But the main one for me was I was a husband, I had 3 children. My dad had died of heart-related kind of illness. I thought, if I'm going to be a dad, a good dad, and a good husband, I need to do something to make sure that as I stick around, I'm in the best shape that I can be to look after my kids and my wife and so on. So I decided to do something called the park run. Some of you may have heard of it. Thank you very much, John. Round of applause from above. Yes, John does the park run. So does Tim. So does Mike. Quite a few from church actually go and do it. Okay, I'd highly recommend it. Every Saturday morning, about 9 o'clock, hundreds of people there. And I think it's a really good picture of the church. You've got young people. You've got, I was going to say old people, but that doesn't signify old people, does it really? That's tall people, okay? Tall people, short people, old people, young people. You've got incredibly fit people who are going to run it in 15 minutes. You've got other people who are going to take nearly an hour. Okay, but the point is they are all there and they're all trying to run their race as best as they can. It's a great picture of the church. Now, the park run started in about 2004, and now about 2.5 million people worldwide are signed up to do it. It's a very good event. Every Saturday morning, we go to Hove Park, and we try and do our 3 mile or 5 kilometer run. Now, I can tell you, it's normally about 1.5 kilometers in. It's just kind of on a bend of Hove Park at the lower end by kind of the Goldstone Retail Park. I begin to say, Dave, why are you doing this? It's starting to get hard work. My body's demanding more oxygen. Sometimes it's very cold. Sometimes it's very hot. Sometimes my feet ache. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes my back aches. And so the question I frame to myself is, why are you doing this? And I think there can be a parallel in our Christian life as well. I'm sure we've all done it. Why are we running with Jesus? For me, it comes down to 2 main questions that the world needs to ask themselves. A, is there a God? B, if there is no God, if there is a God, sorry, what's he like? Now, if there is no good, no God, no matter how humanists and evolutionists dress it up, my sole purpose in life, as far as I can see, is to recreate after my own kind. I have no value, I have no purpose, that's it. But if there is a God, what's he like? Well, hopefully we as Christians recognize that we can meet God in the shape of Jesus. But Jesus said some very tricky teaching at time. And there was a time in the Gospels when he's doing some hard teaching and lots of people walk away. And he says to Peter, Peter, are you still going to run your race with me? Peter's reply, Master, to who else shall we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life. And we believe them and know that you are the Holy Son of God. So why do I keep running my race when life gets hard, when life doesn't make sense, when God seems a million miles away? For me, there's a simple answer. There's no one else to turn to. Only Jesus, to my mind, has come anywhere near answering all those huge questions of life that we all tend to ask at one time or another. For the next part, I'm going to use the BBC, which has taken a lot of stick over the years, the BBC to help us move on, see how we can run more effectively and efficiently in our own individual race with Jesus. Point one, we need to learn to breathe. At the start of the Hove Park run, it can be quite noisy. Depends what sort of athlete's doing it. You've got the elite athletes at the start, the gun goes, they're off. Most people there, hi, how you doing? Did you go out last night? Yeah, a bit of a hangover this morning. How are the kids? Yeah, they're driving me a bit mad. They're chatting, it's quite noisy. But gradually, as the run goes on, things change. And it tends to be, the noises tend to be a bit more like this. All sorts of breathing going on. And it's your body's natural response to needing more oxygen. As you are working harder, your body goes, Dave, unless you start breathing in more oxygen, there's going to be a problem here. And it naturally takes in more oxygen. I think that's a valuable point for us as Christians. When it starts to get hard, that's not when we stop coming to church. That's not when we stop reading the Bible. That's not when we stop praying. That's when we actually need to learn from our body and say, breathe in. Breathe in the Spirit of God. Ephesians says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the clever people that know these things apparently means be filled, go on being filled and filled and filled and filled. One of my favorite verses is where God says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask them? It may not feel like it sometimes, but if we ask, God's promise in His Word is He will give us His Holy Spirit. So point one, we need to learn to breathe, be filled with God's Spirit at all times and on all occasions. Second point, we've had B for breathing. Second point, B for be still. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched elite sportsmen and women, but some of them, there's a kind of a grace and a fluency in the way they move. There's almost, although they're working really hard, there's a stillness. I think of the, if you know the kind of the pursuit cycling team, when there's four in a row, all tucked in, one behind the other, working incredibly hard. All it seems are their legs are moving. Everything else is still and focused straight ahead. Incredible. And it's a good picture for us to learn, I think, in that at school, there's a boy who's a very good 300-meter runner. 300 meters is a hard distance to run. It's kind of a long sprint. He's very good, but that last 80 or 70 meters, as the pressure is applied and he's trying to win his race, this starts to happen. Kind of he's determined to get to the end. And when you're doing the park run, you see all sorts of runners, this kind of happens. All that, excuse me, my glasses are going to fall off, sorry. Okay, the head goes all over the place. Now your head weighs nearly a stone. It's about 11 or 12 pounds. Obviously, it may depend how much grey matter is packed in there. Okay, if you start waving your head all over the place, you're wasting a lot of energy in the wrong place. The parallel for our Christian life, if we start waving our head all over the place, looking up, looking down, looking around, we take our eyes off the important person. We need to learn to keep our head still and focused on Jesus. Recently in church, we've sung a few more times, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a decision. The world behind me, the cross before me. We need to keep our eyes focused on that cross. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. For me, a little kind of verse in there says, he will not let your foot slip. When we're running, we can tend to look down at the ground, make sure your foot's going in the right place, not in a pothole or something like that. It's very clear here. You look to the Lord, he will not let your foot slip. He will make sure it gets put in the right place or it goes in the right direction. We need to learn to be still, keep our eyes focused on Jesus. The other thing as well, some runners, when they start to get tired, you see their heads do this. Okay? They drop down, start looking at the ground. What happens then, if you think about it, when you drop your head like that, your shoulders drop, what am I doing? I've constricted my lungs. My lungs can no longer take in as much air as they need. And if we're looking down at the mess in our lives and the problems we have, we constrict and we restrict our ability to breathe in that Holy Spirit. So keep your eyes up, keep that head still and focused on Jesus. And the third point, point three, breathe, be still, cast. At Hove Park Run, it's possible to be lapped. Tim, I don't think, gets lapped. Probably Mike probably doesn't get, Mike's a very good runner, isn't he? Mike doesn't get lapped. I get lapped. And I can usually tell how well my run is going by how many people lap me. We do 2.5 laps of Hove Park. And normally about 3.5 kilometres, the best runners can be coming past me. The other week I was running and this guy, 16, 17, strode past me. Beautiful long stride, hair immaculate, not a hair out of place, not a bead of sweat, looking ahead, beautiful long stride. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic. What a beautiful runner that guy is. But the miserable, horrible part of me thought, yeah, you wait, young lad. Wait till you carry 5 more stone and 40 more years. Then we'll see if you go charging past me like that. I bet you won't be. The parallel in our Christian life, if only you knew the problems I had to carry. If I didn't have this or I didn't have that, then I'd be a better runner. Then I'd be a better Christian Jesus. We need to learn to take responsibility for our own run. And the sea of cast, 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, I like the word cast in this translation. It kind of gives me, and probably you as well, I don't know, a picture of a fishing rod. And I can imagine my kind of spiritual fishing rod, and I write out my nice problem, children. And I hook my children, metaphorically, on the hook, and I get my rod, and I do a beautiful cast. And I say, Lord, here are my children. Please help. Sort out their futures, their education, whatever else is going to come along. And I leave it there. But sadly, maybe you're the same as me, maybe you're not. After a while, you begin to reel it slowly back in. Until no longer has that burden been cast on Jesus, you've taken it back yourself. What we need to learn to do is put those burdens on the hook, cast it, and let go of the whole rod as well, so that it stays with God. Watching that runner go past me, I'm thinking, yeah, you don't have my burdens to carry. You wouldn't be running so well if you did. I need to say, Jesus, here are my burdens. I cast them on you. Help me to run as best a race as I possibly can. So there we have it. Breathe, be filled with the Spirit. Be still. Keep that head focused, eyes straight ahead, looking at Jesus. See, learn to cast our cares upon God because he cares for us. And so finishing, I'd like to just read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And this is from the Living Bible. I'm very sorry. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us, Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. And now he sits in the place of honour by the throne of God. Amen.